This episode of Continuing Mission is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice, and to help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/TrekFM. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi there, everybody. This is Vic Mignogna, Captain Kirk from Star Trek Continues, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, I'm Tony Robinson from Continuing Mission. Now, we have a very special guest host today, and that is none other than our very own Trek FM's Brandon Shea Mutala. Brandon was at Vulcan in Alberta, Canada, towards the end of July, and he managed to meet up with a very fine chap by the name of Mike Schmidt. Mike appeared as a hitman in what originally was Star Trek Renegades, but then for legal reasons had to drop the Star Trek name and just became the Renegade series, or Renegades the series, and carrying on the same kind of storyline with Walter Koenig and Nichelle Nichols and Tim Russ and a whole host of Star Trek actors that you would recognize. Mike Schmidt played a hitman in a bar scene. Brandon managed to meet up with him at Vulcan. So what we're going to do today is we're going to listen to the conversation that Brandon had with Mike, and Mike's going to be explaining how he became involved with Renegades in the first place and what might be happening in the future. So we're all going to jump in the turbo lift and get out on deck 11 and listen to Mike and Brandon discuss Renegades.
We're at the Vulcan Convention, and I'm sitting with Uber fan Mike Schmidt. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Excellent. I'm glad you're taking a few minutes to sit with us and talk. I got to ask you about your involvement with the Star Trek Renegades project.
Sure.
Now just called Renegades.
Correct. Right?
But we were talking last night at dinner. Why don't you tell me how you got involved with this project and how you ended up going on to the set?
Sure. So I first heard about Renegades about 2-3 years ago. I guess it would be 3 years ago because it was 2 years ago I was on set now. And I just saw something on Facebook about a fan project I'd seen of Gods and Men when Tim Russ was out here at Vulcan 1 year. Mm-hmm. And really enjoyed that show. And I heard that they were taking this story forward after Voyager had returned to Earth. And I thought, great, because I, as much as I love Star Trek, I kept wanting to hear what happened next in the shows I'd already seen. And so I watched it on YouTube, and I loved the show. And then I saw on Facebook they were planning another one. Okay. And they were doing a Kickstarter for it. So I had my kids teach me how to use Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
And I became a social media maniac. And as a result of that, I just kept getting more involved. They announced 4 stars from Deep Space Nine that were going to be on the next episode. And in university, I'd written a bucket list. And one of the things that was on my bucket list was to be on an episode with Deep Space Nine actors, because that's my favorite show. And so I thought, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to that.
Okay.
And my wife, actually, it's a long story, but to make the long story short, my wife's like, you know what, no matter what kind of barriers there are, you got to make this happen and do this, because otherwise you'll kick yourself for the rest of your life if you don't. So I did a GoFundMe. I raised about $1,000 towards the $5,000 US that it was to pledge at the level to be on screen. Mm-hmm. And that was my dream, to be on screen. I went down there. I was one of 2 international people that came as fans to be part of this show. There was a lady from Israel.
Oh, wow.
And myself, and the rest were all people from the States.
Okay.
And it was just it was a fantastic experience, because everybody was there. Mm-hmm. Because they love Star Trek, including the actors.
Right.
Like, the actors, love it as much as we do.
Right.
And so it was neat to be able to, I had lunch with Walter Koenig one day. I had a chance, I was just in the lineup for coffee, or, you know, snacks. I don't drink coffee myself, but, and Terry Farrell was pouring herself a cup of coffee, you know, and it's just, it was kind of surreal. It was an unusual experience, but just fantastic. But yeah, so I saw it online. I got involved in the social media aspect of it, participated as a contributor to the fundraising for it, and got to be on set. It was excellent.
Now, go back a little bit here. So you said when you were originally becoming a social media, you know, craziness and want getting involved, you drew the attention of these people, right?
Right, yeah. They actually reached out to me and said, you know, hey, thanks for doing this because, you know, we're trying, you know, of course, as a marketing campaign, like the Ryan Husk, who's one of the producers of the show, he's like, it's his job to socially market it. So he had reached out to me and, you know, thanked me for what I was doing and asked if I'd like to be, you know, coordinate with his efforts. And so, yeah, he had actually offered me a couple of perks because of my social media aspects of it. So that was kind of neat, too.
Okay, excellent. And so your initial involvement, what were you originally doing? So you're just retweeting their comments?
Tweeting
or just
and putting out me. I learned how to do memes and did memes and commented on the posts that they do and on their tweets. And, yeah, just trying to draw more attention and help out to bring the awareness. I guess the more likes, I still don't understand everything about the social media, I have to admit, but I guess the more likes and comments you have at, you know, once something's posted, that brings you up on the social media advertising too, and then so other people can see that more frequently. So
you were in the second episode.
I was in the second episode.
And at that time, it was no longer Star Trek Renegades, it was just Renegades?
Well, when I got on the plane to go down to be on set, it was Star Trek Renegades. When the plane landed, CBS had released fan film guidelines.
Okay.
And so they had already shot one day as Star Trek Renegades with Nichelle Nichols and Walter Koenig, Sirik Lofton and Tim Russ, doing some green screen work, and they had the uniforms, the ears, the badges, all that. And then they had to shut production down for a day. They tried to get a hold of, you know, lawyers, talking to lawyers, saying, what do we do to continue or not continue? And because that was just announced, the response they were getting was that, oh, next week Wednesday we'll have a podcast saying how it will impact productions currently in progress. And they're like, well, our studio time is done by then. And they said, well, we can't tell you anything right now because we're still trying to figure out what we're going to say next week.
Right.
And so the people in charge of making Renegades made this decision to take all the Star Trek elements out and produce it as an independent sci-fi production.
Okay.
Now, of course, there was a lot of disappointed people, Walter Koenig being one of them, because he had helped to write the script because this was his final episode as Chekhov.
Right, right.
So we all supported the decision, and when you watch it, like as a fan, when I watch it, I can see it as Star Trek.
Okay, yeah.
If somebody who's not a Star Trek fan, I've shown this to many people already, people who've never seen Star Trek just think that's a great sci-fi show.
Okay.
So yeah, I've got some Renegades fans that have never seen Star Trek or didn't, you know, not gotten into Star Trek.
Okay.
Just watching the show.
So when you were on set, so what did you have to do while you were down there for the day?
There was a lot of waiting, and as an extra, you're basically another piece of furniture. Like, when they need you, come on set. When you're done, it's just this waiting area, and they'll call you when they need you. And me being, maybe it's part of my Canadian heritage and the culture we have up here in Canada, but I'm like, I'm not just going to sit here and wait. I want to help out. So I got to help out with some of the catering, setting up the catering, and I went and ran the AC for half a day and, you know, bringing in the costume and makeup stuff when they came to unload on the first day. And just, I'm like, wherever you need me, just put me to work. I don't want to be, if I'm in the way, tell me to get out of the way. But anything you need, I'll just do it. And I also, I got a reputation on set for being the set hugger. I'm a very huggy person. Excellent. And yeah, so people came and went, and I didn't get my hug today. And, you know, got to hug people as they came and left. And so that was really neat.
That's funny. Awesome. So, you know, you were on screen as well.
I got to be on screen. If you look at the 15-minute and 27-second mark, you have to look very closely on the left side of the screen. You see a pan of me. And then in the second part, I don't know what the time frame is on that clip, but there is one where they get a screenshot of my head.
Okay. Are you human or are you an alien?
I was supposed to be in my Garrett cosplay.
Okay.
And so, of course, when they took out the Star Trek elements, I could no longer do that. So I'm wearing the uniform that my wife made for me for the Garrett cosplay, but it is my human face. So they were worried that might be a bit too scary for children, but they let me use my face.
Awesome. Excellent. So these people, have you developed friendships with these people?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and some of the fans, like other fans that came. So I got to know Michael Kugler, who is the one who's writing the novelization of Renegades.
Okay.
And he came as a fan as well and just had been chatting with Sky Conway, who's the head, I don't know what they call us, executive producer, I think is the term, for Renegades. And Michael is an author. And so Michael was talking to Sky Conway, and as they were talking, he's like, well, how would you like to do some writing for us? And so now he's writing the novelizations, which is wonderful.
Awesome.
So, and then, yeah, so he's got one book out called The Judas War, and then the next one that's coming out is Judgment, and that'll be coming out within the next few months here.
Okay.
So that's exciting. And I got to know, like, the Star Trek actors. Like I said, I got to have lunch with Walter, talk to Terry Farrell. Actually, I had quite a funny little story with Terry. When I was helping the makeup people, I was putting down a box that I'd brought in, and she came in and thought I was somebody else and kind of tickled me and then said, oh, excuse me, and moved me, and then all of a sudden she saw that I wasn't who she thought I was. She kind of got a little red, but I'm like, oh, it's all good, you know.
Did she think it was Adam Nimoy?
No, it didn't. No, wasn't that friendly.
Excellent. Now, is there going to be more Renegades? Do you know?
There will, but I want to keep actually about the friendships.
Yes, yes.
Aaron Eisenberg, who played Nog, I'd seen him here in Vulcan and Vegas a couple of times and got chatting. His sons are the same age as my daughters, and so he remembered me, and I thought, that's cool, because he meets so many people.
Right,
like, for him to actually remember me is really neat. And now on social media, like, he comments and sends me private messages or comments on my public posts and stuff like that. And, you know, we'll get together for lunch or coffee when I'm down there next. And,
oh, wow.
And Hana Hatai, who played Molly O'Brien on Deep Space Nine, is another one. And her and I actually became quite good friends on set. And then when she came up to Vulcan, you know, my wife and I took her out for supper the night she arrived, and I was her handler here at the Vulcon that weekend. And so my daughter and her were like Siamese twins, joined at the hip for that weekend. And yeah, she's become a part of our family, and it's just been really neat. So yeah, check in with her. She was going back to school this last year, so we checked in with each other a few times, see how school's going. And my daughter started school at SAIT this year, so as my daughter was having midterms and things like that, I'd say, hey, how are your exams going? And yeah, and so it was just really neat. And so yeah, I've made some really good friendships with the people that I'd watched on screen. It is kind of mind-blowing. I never would have imagined that, you know, 10-20 years ago when I started watching Star Trek, that I'd be at this place. So
living the dream. Hey?
Yeah, it's wild. I guess it was more than 20 years ago I started watching Star Trek.
But. Yeah. Excellent. So there's a third one coming out.
There is another one coming out, and they're going to be making announcements soon.
Okay.
I know a little bit more than I can say. I don't know much,
sure,
but
yeah.
They are getting a big-time Star Trek name to be acting in it and directing in it, directing the episode, so that'll be fantastic. And they do. They've got a series Bible written for Renegades, the series.
Nice.
And the first episode is written, and they've actually already done some work on it. So, yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see where they take it.
Are you going to be working on this one as well?
I will be doing social promoting, but not... No, I've been there, done that in terms of being on screen. It was fun, but I love my day job, and I will stick with that.
Excellent.
But it has been neat. And actually, even another impact with Vulcan... When I was doing the social media, I had Star Trek actors reaching out to me to say, hey, how can I connect with the people in Vulcan? So Manu Interame, he actually came out to Vulcan and brought Robert Beltran with him one year prior to them meeting me on set.
Nice.
He had reached out to me on social media and said, yeah, how can I get involved in this? And so I was able to connect them with the organizers. And yeah, so now I have people contacting me about convention stuff, which was an added bonus because, you know, I'm glad to bring them up, and I'm glad to, you know, help out conventions get really great stars too. So it's
excellent.
Exciting.
Well, you seem like an all-around great guy, and it's been a pleasure getting to know you this weekend.
Oh, it's been great getting to know you, too.
Yeah, so. just all that I've known is just a few interactions online, and I don't interact too much anymore online, but I remember in 2016, I saw you, and I'm like, are you going on the plane? I was hoping to sit with you on the plane, and we weren't connected at the same time, and I just saw you in the hallway a couple times and at Vegas because it was so busy, but we finally got a chance to sit down.
Yeah, it's been great getting to know you, too, yeah.
So, excellent. Well, right on. This is great. I'm definitely going to check out the Renegades Project. I think I've seen half of the first episode or something like that.
You got to watch the rest. It is fantastic work, and I'm really excited to know what they're going to be doing with it. And the one thing I should say, too, that was a really heart-touching moment for me, Sky Conway shared this with me on set, and then he shared it last year when they premiered the Requiem, which is the second episode, is that he became friends with Gene and Majel Roddenberry.
Okay.
And on Gene's deathbed, he made a promise to Gene that he would continue telling stories in that universe. Mm-hmm. And that's where Of Gods and Men came from, that's where Star Trek Renegades came from, and now that it's just Renegades the series, he's going to continue telling stories in Gene's style.
Okay.
So I really am very excited to see where they go with it, because it's a fantastic group of people that love sci-fi and share that same Star Trek vision.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, where can people find you online, Mike? Where can they follow you on social media?
I'm Mike Schmidt on Facebook. Mm-hmm. MikeSchmidtNFL@hotmail.com is the address, because there's quite a few people on Facebook named Mike Schmidt. And then MikeDS9Fan on Twitter.
Excellent. Right on.
I'm not as active on Twitter, but I am there.
That's the big one for me, so.
Okay.
Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, always love talking Trek.
Excellent.
Well, it's been fun talking with Mike Schmidt about Renegades today, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
It's a white uniform, and you're dealing with medical blood, all this other stuff, fluids.
Yeah.
That thing ain't going to stay white. So in my head, they're treated that it just doesn't even stick. It just repels off it.
Earl Grey.
So Picard says he won't transfer anyone off the ship, but as a compromise, get ready for this. As a compromise, he will reassign Worf as Wesley's tutor.
I love that. Yes. Put some discipline in that boy.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
This is like a choice you could, I don't know. I would imagine.
Man, I really like this story.
You like
now.
It?
Yeah.
there's more later, but yeah, Worf is Wesley's tutor.
Melodic Trex.
And, you know, I talked to the producers when I first did the show, and the first thing they had me do was pick a combination of the dun da 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 da, you know, Sandy Courage, wonderful horn theme. And, Jerry's da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, his theme for the first movie, and make a theme out of those and combine them. So I did it electronically, and they said, good enough. And I said, look, this is not my specialty. And they said, never mind, you got it. So 18 years later, you know, that was it.
The 602 Club.
I did definitely feel what you're saying, Matt, like it was a Bond greatest hits in that opening sequence. You've got Russians again, or supposed to be in Russia. You've got, you know, a group of terrorists all gathering together about, you know, all these different weapons, and you're trying to ID people. And then, you know, we, of course, bring back in M, and then she's having to argue now with the government and the military. And then, you know, I like that they kind of bring in Bond in a subtle way, calling him White Knight this time. That was cool. But yeah, I think otherwise it feels very familiar, but in a great way. I feel like Arnold dealing with the music, and then the actors as well taking good direction, made a lot of intensity in that scene. So you don't feel like you're moving into the film slowly. They're coming at you full force, and then, you know, Bond runs off with the plane. So I really liked it.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review, preferably 4-star, 5-star, 6-star, and a 24-page essay review on all the good points. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us email, you can use the form on our website at trekfm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select continuing mission. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. I'm your host, Tony Robinson. You can find me also on Twitter at shamrock165. And of course, I do contribute to the Babel Conference from time to time to time to time to time to time. Now, if you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. And before we go today, we cannot leave without thanking our founder and publisher, Christopher Brian Jones, and our executive producer, Ken Tripp. I'm Tony Robinson. I said that earlier, but just in case you forgot, I'm looking forward to seeing you next time on Continuing Mission. Thank you.